you for the day. We're thankful for your word, for the opportunity we've had to be under it, to be spirit taught. We're thankful for the time to share with other believers, and we pray your spirit would continue to guide and direct as we continue. In Christ's name, amen. And so we're started into a series. We're looking at the things above. And so we're pivoting off of Galatians 3:1 and 3:2. And let me just read those verses. It says, if you then be co-risen with Christ, it's just since. Therefore, since you be co-risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, or the idea of your frame of mind, on the things above, not on the things on the earth. And so, you know, we have these imperatives to keep seeking the things above, related to our oneness with Christ, our position in Christ. We're going to seek those things in God's word. And as we find those things, we're going to keep setting our frame of mind on these things above. And so we've introduced this. We've spent quite a bit of time setting some of the foundation to look into these things. And then the last 2 weeks, I've been looking at different things related to the believer. 2 weeks ago, we considered the fact that the believer is chosen. And so we see that this choice by God the Father was before the foundation of the universe. And so we're chosen for salvation. And so we are chosen ones or elect. And then last week we considered that the believers are called. And called. We're called to the salvation. We're summoned through the gospel. And we can see, you know, one of the content of the salvation is to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord. But we're chosen and we're called. And so when we're called in time to our salvation through the gospel, what we have is we have a working out of God's choice in the life of the believer. And so it's obviously we don't realize that we were chosen for this when we're given the faith to believe the gospel. But then after we are saved and we're relating to God's word, we can be spirit taught that we're elect ones, we're chosen ones. We're also summoned, we're called ones. Today we want to consider another aspect, and this is looking at as believers being set apart. Set apart to God in Christ. And so let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then we'll kind of tie this together with these last two messages. Look at them as believers, as chosen ones or elect ones, and as called ones, ones that are summoned. An effectual call by God to one's salvation, and even the faith is given in order to believe. And so over in 2 Thessalonians, I just want to drop into 2:13. And here Paul just says, but we are bound to give thanks always to the God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has from not the beginning, but a quality of a beginning, chosen you to salvation. Now your King James says through sanctification, and I'm just going to translate this as it's an end preposition, by sanctification. And so he's chosen you to salvation by sanctification. Keep that word in mind. We're going to talk a little bit about this idea of sanctification, because this is a noun here. Well, let me just go ahead and do it. We're right here, and then I'll drop right back into the verse. So sanctification. Sanctification is an idea, the idea of a process of dedicating, of sanctifying, of making holy. Thayer says consecration, or the effect of a consecration. You know, the idea is
of a consecration is to dedicate for a sacred purpose or service. And so this idea of sanctification, he's chosen you to salvation by sanctification, and then of the Spirit, that's just from the Spirit and belief of the truth. And we're right here, we might as well read verse 14 also, because this ties to the believer's calling, whereunto he called you through, not by, but through our gospel. And so here we see a reference to the believer being called through our gospel. And then we see part of the content of the salvation that we're called to is included here, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that glory would be his acquired glory in the realm of his human nature. Now, let's also, another verse we previously looked at, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, 9. And so here we're going to see the word holy used. It's an adjective. And so here Paul is encouraging Timothy to suffer evil for the gospel according to the power of God. You see that in 2 Timothy 1:8. And then verse 9, it says, who saved us and called us by a holy calling. This holy calling, this sanctifying summons. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. King James says before the world began. We could just say before times of eternities or times of ages. But this grace was given us in Christ Jesus. But here we see he called us with a holy calling, a setting apart calling or summons. It's kind of the idea. And so, you know, when we start talking about sanctification, the root idea of, you know, the verb of hagiazo is to set apart. And so its root concept has the idea to separate, can carry the concept to cleanse or purify, and to set apart for sacred purposes. And so when we think about our sanctification, what we're going to see is that we were sanctified in Christ. We were set apart to God in Christ. And so that's referred to as our positional sanctification. It's imputed to us. So I guess what I would like to communicate is you can't get any more sanctified, set apart to God, than you are in Christ. And that's something that you possess, by the way. This is something that's part of your position that's imputed to you as a believer. And so you're set apart to God in Christ. Now, we're going to see, we'll look at a couple of things when we'll go to 1 Corinthians. But not all of us, we don't always live in line with our position. We're not always lined up with being set apart to God and matching up to that. That's part of our present tense salvation, what we refer to maybe as our progressive sanctification. And what we're going to see is, and then what we could also consider, there's future tense sanctification, where our future tense sanctification ties with our future tense salvation. It's when we completely match up to our position, and God is going to completely set us apart, fully, entirely, in our future tense, as part of our future tense salvation. So this is kind of fun. This is looking at some of the possessions that we have in Christ. This is tying right back to what God imputes to us. This is very practical. And so what we said is, you know, setting our frame of mind on things above, that entails setting our thinking in line with what God's word reveals about us, because we're one with Christ and in Christ. And so one of these truths has to do with being set apart unto God in Christ. Now, before we look at some of these verses, I just want to survey through a couple things, and I just want to demonstrate from God's word is it's the crosswork that makes it possible for the believer to be set apart in this way. And so we're just going to survey through a few things. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll drop in here in Hebrews 10. And so we're going to have, we're going to have our verbal form of being sanctified in verses 10 and 14. But I want to just get a little bit of context. So let's drop back to verse 5. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou desirest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Kind of some fun things that I'm not going to go into the details here. This is tying back to Psalm 40. I think it's Psalm 40 that this goes back to. It's interesting to look back in the Hebrew here. But a body hast thou prepared for me. There it says a reference to ear. But coming back to Hebrews 10:6, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written concerning me, to do thy will, O God. And so this book here that's reference, this would be in reference to the decree. And this is the second person of the Godhead. It says, I come to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you wouldest not. You did not desire, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, or just according to, measured by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And this is, I believe, would be in reference to the covenant with the church. And so in verse 10, this is where I was trying to get to. It says, by the which desirous will, by which will, desirous will, we are sanctified. And it's a perfect passive participle, by which we are in a state of being set apart as sacred to God. This idea here of being sanctified, by which we are sanctified. We're in a state of having been sanctified, with the abiding result that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now let's continue on in verse 11. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, King James 4 sins, this is our who pair preposition, on behalf of sins, forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. In other words, it's accomplished, it's done. There's no more work to be done. From henceforth, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. And then we see in verse 14, for by one offering, it says, he has perfected forever, just in perpetuity. So for by one offering, he has perfected forever, or just in perpetuity, them that are sanctified. And this is a present passive participle. Them that are being sanctified. Them that are being set apart. And so the idea of perfected here, made complete. For by one offering, he has perfected, he has made complete, brought to an intended end in perpetuity, them that are being sanctified. Let me take you back to the upper room in John 17, where we have the Son communicating with the Father, and we'll drop in here in verse 7 or chapter 17. And so he's communicating on behalf of the 11 here, and then he's going to expand it out, and we'll see that. And so let's just drop into verse 17. He says, sanctify them. And this is just an aorist active imperative. Sanctify them, not through thy truth, but by your truth. And then we see your word is truth. Your word is truth, is, you know, that which really is truth. And then we see in verse 18, and thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake, for their sakes, King James, this is just who care translated for, just, and on behalf of them, he says, I sanctify myself. I set apart myself. The idea is he's setting himself apart to fulfill the will of God. I believe here this would I would connect this back over to Philippians 2:8-9. We'll go there in just a minute. Let's finish this context first, though. It says, "And I, on behalf of them, I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified, not through the truth, but by truth, by truth." The truth connecting back to his word, that they might be, and again, he uses a perfect passive participle. He says, I sanctify myself that they might be in a state of having been sanctified by truth. That which really is. And now you see he expands this out in verse 20 beyond the 11 to this would include us. He says, neither pray I, and the word pray is just to make request, to ask as an equal. And so neither I ask I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe, not on me, but it's an ice preposition, just into me, through their word. Now let's just go over to Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And we'll pick up here in 2:8. And so this is speaking of the incarnate Son of God, who emptied himself of his outward manifestation of deity. And then so when we just drop into Philippians 2:8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, just a cross kind of death. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And this is in the realm of his humanity, in his humanity. Now, if we go back to Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. And let me just drop into Hebrews 2:10. Well, let me, for context, we want to grab 2:9 as well. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with honor, glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing or leading, the idea of bringing here is leading many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And then in verse 11, it says, for both he that sanctifies. So just for he, the one that is sanctifying, and they who are sanctified, just are being sanctified, are all of one. They're just all out from one. And so we have, you know, trying to understand the one here, the form, it could be either neuter or masculine. It's one of those that could go either way. We're all out of one thing. Could be a reference to the new creation. It was interesting when I noticed that the New American Standard, they supply the ellipsis, are out from one, and they supply the ellipsis Father. But this is the idea here. I think he's talking about the body of the new creation. It says, for both he that sanctifies and the ones who are being sanctified are all out from one thing, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And so I wanted to quickly do just point that out and make that connection that it's only through the crosswork, and that crosswork being applied to the believer and the believer being baptized into Christ, that the believer is set apart to God. And so, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are trying to set themselves apart to God. The problem is a believer, you can't set yourself apart to God through the flesh, through the sin nature. And so this becomes important to understand that it's in our position in Christ that we possess sanctification. This being dedicated and set apart to God in Christ. And so this becomes important then if we're going to live in our present tense salvation and experience progressive sanctification, that positional truth becomes foundational. Now, hopefully that'll become clearer as we look at a few more verses. But first, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And of course, the Corinthians, what can we say about these believers? There's quite a few things that Paul needed to address with these believers to get them with the program. And yet he starts off and he tells them right from the get-go that they are saints. They're not waiting to be saints. They're not, they are saints. And so they have been sanctified. They have been set apart. And so let's pick this up in 1 Corinthians 1:2. And so Paul says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, he says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And so the idea of sanctified. Now, this is a perfect passive participle. So this is something that's happened with abiding results. Somebody else has done the action of the setting apart. And so here it's unto the church of God. We have got the third race that came into existence on the day of Pentecost. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, in a state of having been sanctified with the abiding result that they are set apart ones. So set apart in Christ Jesus. And so this set apart, the sanctified in Christ Jesus, this is set apart to God. We could look at sanctification as two ways. You can be set apart by being a set apart from something. You can be set apart by being set apart to something. The problem for believers that are trying to be set apart through the flesh is if you're just trying to be set apart by being set apart from something, if you're doing it through the flesh, that's not going to, that doesn't draw you any closer to God. The flesh isn't going to allow that. This is, you know, part of the results of the fall. And so, but when you're set apart unto God, when you're living in your position in Christ, is you're already set apart from the things that are unlike God. And so this sanctification that we possess in Christ, it looks at both aspects of being set apart from the things that are unlike God, but being set apart to God for a special purpose. And every believer that's in Christ has been sanctified and set apart to God. And this is in the mind of God. This is, he imputes this to us. This is a possession. This is something that we have. This is sanctification. So let's continue on in the verse. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified or set apart in Christ Jesus. And then it says, the King James says, called to be saints. You see in your King James that to be is an ellipsis. Then you're not called to be saints. You're not hoping to become a saint at some point in the future. You know, you don't become a saint at future tense salvation. You are summoned to be a saint the moment you believe the gospel. You were summoned to God's choice of you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the universe. And you were sanctified and set apart unto God. And so it's not called to be saints, but called. Just say called, two adjectives, called ones, holy ones, set apart ones. And so just called saints. The idea of saints is set apart ones, holy ones. I'm not going to go into that for this message. I'm going to come back to the concept of saints at another time. But called saints, with all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So this sanctification that we have in Christ Jesus. And well, this would tie back to when were we moved into Christ? When were we moved into Christ? It's that initial salvation, and it's by Spirit baptism. And so let's just go, we're here in 1 Corinthians. Let's go ahead and take a look at 1 Corinthians 12:13. And here we see this is by the Holy Spirit that we were immersed into Christ. So 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit were we all baptized, and baptized is a transliteration of the Greek word, but it has the idea of immersed. And so for by one Spirit were we all immersed into one body, talking about the body of Christ. It's not a headless body. Christ is the head, yet it is one. And so we are all immersed into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink one Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit there. And so it's at that moment that we were immersed into Christ, that we were set apart, we were sanctified, set apart to God for a purpose of God, to be used of God. And so if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and towards the end of the chapter, you know, he's got some things dealing with our calling and so forth. We looked at that last week. And we see in 1 Corinthians 1:29 that no flesh should boast before thee God. The word glory in the King James just should be boast, that no flesh should boast in his presence. It's just before thee God. And then in verse 30, it says, but out from him, talking about thee God, the Father here, out from him, he's the source. But out from him are you in Christ Jesus. This goes back to eternity past when you were chosen in Christ for the foundation of the universe. And you were called to that choice. And so out from him, God the Father, are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom from God. And so I'm changing the word order from your King James. Your New American Standard actually doesn't do bad here. The New American Standard just says, who became unto us wisdom from God. And then you could just put a colon right there after God. Righteousness. And so, and then sanctification. Here's the noun. So righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So in Christ Jesus, and he became wisdom to us from God. And then we have righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And right now we're just focusing on sanctification. And sanctification is looking at the action or the effect of being a set apart for a purpose. For a purpose of God. And so we have been set apart to God in Christ. Now, as I mentioned, that's positional sanctification. It's something that every believer in Christ possesses. And it's God's opinion of the believer in Christ. And he's completely set apart. You can't get any more sanctified than you are in Christ. Now, in our present tense salvation, we don't always live in line with that. And we can Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And so we can see, and you know, we go through this book, this epistle to the Corinthians, and there was a lot of problems in their present tense salvation. They hadn't learned to get completely in line with God's program for them yet. And so if we drop in here now, let's just pick up a little bit of context. In 1 Corinthians 6:6, you know, we see there's problems, there's lawsuits among believers here. And so brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. And we could continue on. Well, let's go ahead. We'll just continue on. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? No, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know you not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Talking about the sphere of salvation. And then we've got a list of all of these things that can be qualities or characteristics that could be used to describe someone. Be not deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so nobody is that is characterized by these things is going to inherit the kingdom of God, the sphere of salvation. And then he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. And so such were, and that's an imperfect verb that's translated were. And such were continuously some of you. You were characterized by these various things. But now you've got three strong contrasts here. And so you see it because you've got in the Greek, Allah is a strong contrast translated, but. And so it's a strong contrast. So it's like, but rather. And so, but you are washed. And so it's just, but rather. So you continue, some of you are continuously some of these things, these previously listed things, but rather you are washed. And he says this here in a middle voice. It's an aorist middle indicative verb here. You washed yourselves. And then he says, but rather, and so the second, but is, these are all Allah's, but rather you are sanctified. Now he goes from an aorist middle voice to a passive voice. But you were sanctified. At a point in time, the heiress, you were sanctified, but rather you were, and he uses another aorist passive, you were justified. And so both of these are aorist passive, sanctified and justified. Somebody else did the action of the sanctifying and the justifying. And so you washed yourself, but you washed yourselves, but you are sanctified, but you are justified. And we see in the name, the idea of in the character of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. And so here we see the active agent by whom they were sanctified and justified, but in the name and the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see. Now, there's a textual issue in, do I want to go there? I'm trying to think as far as time goes. I did get a late start, but I'm still trying to stay within my time. So let's go ahead and go to Jude 1. And so in Jude 1 in verse 1, now, if you happen to be reading a King James or a New King James, you're, in verse 1, you're going to see the word sanctified. If you happen to be reading a New American Standard, though, the same word, there's a textual issue. It's going to be translated beloved. But I'm going to go here with the... what's called the Byzantine text or the majority text. And so Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified. And so just them, it's a perfect passive participle. Them that are in a state of having been sanctified by God the Father. And so here, this would be going back to God the Father as the ultimate source. And so sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, just called. In the King James, you see the ellipsis and. It's just called ones, the adjective, called ones, summoned ones. And so here it's just to them, though, that are... If we go with the textual problem for sanctified, of them that are having been sanctified with the abiding results that they are set apart by God the Father and preserved. Now, the word preserved here, it's also a perfect passive participle and has the idea to be kept under guard and preserved or kept under guard in Jesus Christ. Called ones, summoned ones. Is kind of the idea. And so when we, you know, we relate to these things, we can see that as believers, we possess positional sanctification because in Christ, we have been set apart to God and God the Father's reckoning of us. Now in present tense salvation, we are being sanctified. It's a progressive thing that's happening as we're hopefully maturing. And so what happens has to happen for maturity to be taking place. Well, one, we have to be spiritual, right? We have to be spiritual. That was a big moth. And so to be spiritual, we have to cooperate with the persons of the Godhead. And it's when we're spiritual, though, that we can mature. And that's when we can be experiencing progressive salvation, where we're being set apart more and more to God in our practice, in our practice. And so let's get a nice illustration over in 2 Timothy. So let's go to 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Let's see. Okay, let me just pick up in 2:19 and following here. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them. He experientially knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ or the Lord, there's a textual issue there, whether it's Christ or the Lord, but let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity, just unrighteousness. Now in verse 20, we have this nice illustration of sanctification. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. And so these would be vessels that typically of gold and silver would be of particular value. But also of wood and of earth. Some things that would be more common. And some to honor and some to dishonor. Now we see here in verse 21, he says, if anyone therefore cleanses himself from these things of dishonor tied to unrighteousness, we could even go back further in the context, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And this is how the vessel unto honor, in the next word we see sanctified. And it's a perfect passive participle. In a state of having been sanctified, having been set aside. And then we see this sanctified, it says, and meet for the master's use. And just the idea of useful to the master. It's been set aside for a purpose, in a state of being set aside for a purpose. And then he's useful to the master. And then we see and prepared. It's interesting because he uses another perfect passive participle. In a state of having been prepared. Somebody else did the preparation. For every good work. For every good work. And so it's interesting when you think, well, how does this relate to a believer then? You know, if as believers, if we're trying to do good works through the flesh, we're not functioning from our position of being sanctified in Christ. If we're trying to do it through the flesh, we're trying to do it through our own strength. We may be doing so-called good works, but would those be the good works that were previously prepared for us by God the Father? Remember, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which were previously prepared. So we have to be in the right condition. We have to be spiritual to be able to recognize those good works. We have to be in a state of having been prepared. And so this goes back to our present tense salvation. And so let me transfer over to Romans 6 now. And so in Romans 6 is where we're going to try and tie this off. So Romans 6, of course, is the chapter in the Bible that tells us how we can use positional truth, being in Christ, and as it relates to being free from serving the sin nature. So the sin nature no longer reigns as Lord. And so as we back up, now let me just back up to Romans 6:17. And so here you can see for the believer, there's a body of doctrine that needs to be obeyed, to listen under and responded to. And then we can be set free from serving the sin nature. And that doctrine is explained in the first part of Romans 6. And we can summarize it in 6:11, impute yourselves to be dead unto the sin on one hand, but on the other hand, alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 6:11. So imputing your position in Christ as dead to the sin nature on the one hand, and then on the other, alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Now, if we come to Romans 6:17, but God be thanked. The word thanked is grace. It's just gratitude for grace is to be God, because you were slaves of the sin. You were slaves, the bond servants of the sin nature. But you have obeyed out from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. a form of doctrine for belief and practice. And when this doctrine for belief and practice was obeyed, that was delivered, in other words, it was they listened under and responded, we see that it had an effect in their present tense salvation. As you see verse 18, being then made free from the sin. Being made free from the sin nature, the sin principle. Having been. You became enslaved or bond slaves, servants, to righteousness. To righteousness. Now, he goes on in verse 19. He says, I speak after the manner of men. Because of the infirmity or the weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded or presented your members servants to uncleanness and lawlessness unto lawlessness, you know, looking at before we have an option, we had one nature prior to salvation to serve. And so we're presenting our members to uncleanness and to lawlessness unto unlawlessness. Even so now, present, or the idea yield, present your members, bond servants, to righteousness unto holiness. This word holiness, this is our noun, this is sanctification, unto sanctification. Could translate this, it's either unto sanctification, the idea of being set apart, or because of sanctification, if we translate it as a causal, it's because of sanctification, because you have been set apart. Both are true. And so, but present your members servants to righteousness unto sanctification. Now he's going to go on here and he's going to explain, and it is interesting, the New American Standard adds the phrase resulting in sanctification, by the way, resulting in sanctification. Now he goes on in verse 20, he says, for when you were bond servants of the sin, you were free with reference to righteousness. Interesting play on words there. And he says, what fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from the sin nature, and remember, this is by obeying that doctrine for belief and practice that was delivered to them in verse 17. Now being made free from the sin nature, you know, free from serving the sin nature. Now the members can be presented to righteousness. Can't happen through the sin nature. There's got to be this freedom from the sin nature first. That's in our position in Christ where we died to the sin nature. And now being made free from the sin nature and become bond servants to God. This is sanctification playing out. Bond servants to God. He says, you have your fruit. Now the King James, unfortunately, translates our noun again, holiness. You have your fruit unto holiness. That's the word sanctification. The New American Standard, again, it translates this, you have your fruit resulting in sanctification. There's a question of we could potentially understand the ice preposition as you have your fruit because of sanctification. If we wanted to go back to our position in Christ or unto sanctification and the end or the outcome, not everlasting life, but eternal life. And so you have your fruit though resulting in or unto sanctification. And so this is dealing with progressive sanctification. We have to be spiritual. We have to be free from the sin nature and we can be experiencing our positional sanctification. And as we live out eternal life, we're being changed. We're being changed into the image of Christ. And so we're becoming more and more Christ-like. We become better reflective surfaces of the indwelling Christ. And we match up more and more. We're in line with our positional sanctification of being set apart unto God. And so, you know, when we look at this, we have positional sanctification. We've been set apart to God in Christ Jesus. We can't get any more set apart to God than we are in Christ. But in present tense salvation, we can experience that positional sanctification as we're Spirit-filled Christians. We can reflect out Christ, and we can be more and more in line with our position in Christ. That's a progressive sanctification. Now, we do have future tense sanctification, and that's tied to our future tense salvation. And so for here, this is where we're going to finish today. Let's just go to 1 Thessalonians. Paul uses an optative voice in the Greek. It's not used very many times in the Greek New Testament, but it expresses a desire or a wish. And so Paul uses this voice in the Greek to express this when he's talking about may the God of peace. And so I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 5:23. And this is going to be our verb, hagiazo, to set apart, to sanctify, and it's used in an optative voice. And so in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Kind of the idea of, you know, set you apart wholly, completely, entirely. You know, this is to set apart for a sacred purpose. And then we see what he has in mind. He has the complete makeup of the individual in mind. And he says, "And I pray God, your whole spirit." And let me just take a quick look here. "That may he sanctify you complete, and the entirety of you, the spirit, the soul, and the body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, in the next verse, he says, "Faithful is he that calleth you." Just faithful, he uses a present active participle. And the idea of faithful is dependable, reliable. And so faithful is the one calling you. It's a present participle. The one summoning you. You're being summoned to something in progressively. You have been summoned, called to your initial salvation that reflects God's choice of you in eternity past. But in progressively, you're being summoned or called to your future tense salvation, where we completely line up with our position in Christ. And so faithful is he, or the one that is calling you, who also will do it. And he uses a future active indicative. And so I almost want to put an exclamation point here. Who will also do it? Exclamation point. Because there's no doubt he will do it. And so we will be wholly, completely, entirely sanctified to God, set apart to God for a special purpose. And this is all part of our being set apart ones. We'll come back to that concept of being a saint. You're not waiting to be a saint. You are a saint right now. The moment you were baptized into Christ, you were set apart to God, and you are a set apart one. You are a holy one. You are a saint. Okay, so we are chosen. We are called, and we are set apart. Lord willing, next week we'll pick up another thing that relates to these things above. Let's close. Father, thank you for your word. We're grateful for these truths. May we be those that are spirit taught. May we be blessed through your word. May you be setting us apart by your word, and we will be grateful. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.